Okay, you're better off. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tzayin, Chapter 16, Halacha Beis. We continue to discuss more issues of where there is believability for people to testify if they have bias or not. And we're still with this one more halacha of the Reuven who stole from Shimon, and Yehuda came and complained that it was originally his to begin with and never belonged to Shimon kind of stuff. So one more halacha of theft and the person, the victim of the theft, if he's believed in testimony or not. So let's work through this one carefully. Okay, Reuven the Goslin, Reuven the guy who stole. Now, before we were talking about a field or a talus. Okay, so now we're going to focus on a talus now. Mocher hatalis hagzula lelevi. So, Reuven, who stole a talis from Shimon, sold it to Levi, Ubo Yehuda Lara, and then Yehuda comes and complains that it was always his to begin with. Okay, got that? Reuven stole from Shimon. We assumed it was Shimon's the whole time. Reuven stole it. He turned around and sold it to Levi. And then Yehuda comes along and says, you know, that never was Shimon's, it was mine the whole time. Okay? Now, well, there's a lot of issues over here. But let's keep going on over here. Now, and the area is in discussion. You ready to have a question?
No, I'm fine.
You got ready to have a furrowed brow, Paul?
No, this time around I didn't read my facial expression.
Okay. So now, before we even get moving here, Emes Reuven, what if Reuven, the Ganef, dies? Now he's out of the picture. He ain't ever paying anybody, right? He's dead. Now what's the issue over here? Now who is holding on to the talus now? Right now?
Levi, is it?
Levi who bought it. So what's the issue now? Is Levi gonna hold on to it? Or is Yehuda gonna get it? Those are the only, or maybe it goes back to Shimon for that matter. Well, let's see what's going on over it. But one thing's for sure, Reuven is dead, so he's got no involvement in the picture. He ain't getting it. Now, what can Shimon do? Shimon made Aleha She'ena Shel Yehuda.
Okay, now I have a fire.
Shimon can testify in the court proceedings that he knows it's not you, you never owned it. But just wait, you'll see why. You'll see it. Alright? That Yehuda never owned it. And why is Reuven's testimony going to be considered an unbiased testimony?
Because we're going to
Shimon's considered unbiased testimony because we're going to pull something out of the hat now. Share ain talis zo. This talis, you can be sure of the way we've crafted this particular situation, is never going to choseris l'shimon la'olam. Shimon can never expect to see it back at this point of the game. Why? Shikfar kno haloikeach b'yeyush. Because the buyer has acquired it through the yeush, from the despair of Shimon. Okay? Now, and why? Because of yeush v'shini rishus, and change of possession. We have a rule that when a ganef steals from someone, there's a concept of if there is yeush, despair, plus, the ganef changed where the item is now in ownership by selling it to somebody. We have a Talmudic principle that yeush and shini rishus, change of who is the owner, that now transfers ownership to the person who bought it. That's the rule. You just have to accept it. Okay? Now, doesn't mean to say we can't go after the ganef and get the money from the ganef. Okay, let's take a simple case. Reuven stole from Shimon. Reuven stole from Shimon, and then Reuven went and sold it to Levi. Well, that's what happened here, right?
Yeah.
But that, if you know, we assume there's yeush when the guy steals it from you, and when someone buys it, these two together constitute a kinyan for the buyer. Now, if Shimon can prove that Reuven stole it, Reuven will have to pay him back. But Levi doesn't. Levi is the owner. That's the rule. So what do we have over here? So what is it that Shimon can expect to get over here? Now, the fact that it's very important that Shimon is dead over here. You know why it's important for Shimon to be dead? Reuven to be dead over here? Because if Reuven is alive, he could still get money out of Reuven. It benefits him to say that you'd have never had it.
Right.
But now that Reuven is dead, so now Shimon can never collect from Reuven. Levi has it right now, and he's going to keep it. It's unfortunate for Shimon. He has no recourse in this situation. Now the only issue is, will Yehuda be able to prove that it was never Shimon's, and therefore Levi isn't entitled to buy because it was never stolen from the guy who got stolen from. Okay, you follow? So now, when Shimon testifies that it's not Yehuda's, we can assume that his testimony is completely no bias.
So Yehuda says it belonged to him, not Shimon, right?
Yehuda says Shimon never owned it.
And
it was always mine.
Right.
Right? Shimon thought it was his. That's why Reuven stole it from Shimon. Right? Right? Then Reuven is smart. He stole it, sold it to Levi. Right? So now, that effectively takes Shimon out of the picture. Now the Rambam asks, Ukfar meis Reuven HaGoslin, and Reuven the Goslin died, and now Shimon is going to collect the money, for even if Reuven who died and left children with movable objects, they don't have to pay, because paying back the money is a debt for the robber, and metalkal and movable objects are not Meshubad are not Meshubad. It's leaned against the kids. Now, if the Ganef left kids with land, then we would not believe him, the testimony, because he could then collect from the children of the Ganef from the land. From a Ganef. When a Ganef dies, if his kids just have movable objects, we can't collect from that. But if they have land, they could. So if there was land, then we would not believe Shimon's testimony. Okay. But, continuing. Avolim adayin Reuven kayin. But what if Reuven the Ganef is still alive? The Ganef is still alive. Then ain't Shimon made? Shimon can't testify. Afal atalis. He can't even testify on a talis that was stolen. Why? Because shahanohilo, it's very beneficial for Shimon, shalotamid bahayat Yehuda, so that the property will not go to Yehuda. Why? Because he wants it to be known that it was his, that it was stolen by Reuven. Because then he can bring a proof, sheruven gezol, that Reuven stole it. You're right, he ain't going to get back the talis, because Levi acquired it through the Shinui Rishus and the Yehush, but still the Yishalim Domeh, Reuven will have to pay Shimon the money of what he had, and therefore he will be what we call Nogea Betis, he will be biased. Alright. Let's take it a step further. Let's say Hatalis biyad Yorshe Reuven. Let's say it wasn't sold. Reuven didn't sell it to Levi, but Reuven, who was the Ganef, who died, and then the Yorshim, his children inherited from Reuven. Okay, so now it's his kids. Still ain't Shimon Medela. Shimon cannot testify in that case. Then it doesn't belong to Yehuda, because if he does prove that, Mitesh's soul then would be Shim Tamid Biyada Yerush. If the property, the talis, stays by the children, the inheritors of the Ganef, Laz will get it back, because that inheritance is not called Shinui Rishus, is not called changing of ownership. When it's sold, that's called Shinui Rishus. But inheritance is not called Shinui Rishus, and they can directly collect it back. Okay. We are now finished with the Ganef scenario. Okay? Now we go to different scenarios here. Gimel. That wasn't too bad, eh? Reuven Shemochar
Sod. As long as I wait.
What?
As long as I wait till the end.
Oh, that was okay. It's one
day. No, it was fine, but I mean, in the middle of that.
Yeah, okay.
It sounded.
Okay, good. Reuven Shemochar Sode Leshimin Shalobachrais. Okay, Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and he sells it without achrayus, without, what's the English, we're taking responsibility. Okay? Now, generally, when a general sale is made and nothing's written in, we assume there is responsibility of the owner to make sure that he was the owner and all these things, that the buyer could have some recourse. But he made an explicit condition in this sale that I want you to know I'm taking no responsibility, and if, let's say, somebody has some reason to collect, to say I had no right to sell the field, maybe there was some debts I had, some outside, I'm as is, I'm taking no responsibility, any halachic recourse you normally could take, I want you to sign on the dotted line, you are not going to take any recourse against me. Alright? So that's a very important way of setting up the scenario over here. The guy doesn't have to sign it. You know, when you buy a house, you know, the owner can sign any conditions. You're not obliged to sign it. The guy says, as is, no inspections, can't come in, can't do this. If you don't like the conditions, you don't sign it. Reuven signed the condition. It could be he offered Shimon a great bargain, sure, and Shimon's willing to take the risk. Right? Whatever. But this was done with everybody's knowledge, so he knew what he was getting into.
Recourse.
What? It's not the kind of thing you would buy, Paul.
Absolutely.
but risk takers, well, investors, yeah, might look for a bargain there.
But I'm just suggesting it's taking away Torah recourse. Like,
you're not taking away Torah. There's general rules of bills of sale. Now you can make different rules. You can, between the two of you, you can say, this is how I want to do it. Now, you might not get very many buyers. Right? Listen, the guy, let's say, everyone knows this guy had a lot of debts. You know, but maybe he paid him, maybe he didn't, who knows, whatever. So, the guy's going to give you the field that normally costs $1 million for $5,000. All right? I'm not telling you, man, I'm not promising anything. So the guy will take the risk, right? Whatever it is. Anyway, that's the case. Okay, so now who's got the field now? Shimon's got the field now, right? Ubo Yehuda. Yehuda now comes. La'arar el Shimon, to complain against Shimon, to say, you know what? This was always my field. It was never Reuven's, right? Now, of course, Reuven doesn't have to worry about anything because he told you, I'm not going to be responsible for any complaints that come later on. And he wants to lotzia mitachas yodo. Yehuda wants to take the field away from Shimon. So now the question is, can Reuven, the seller, testify that against Yehuda that he doesn't own it? Now let's think from before we go further. Is Reuven got anything to lose here?
Seems not.
You'd think not, right? Because he has no responsibility. If it goes back to Yehuda, he doesn't have to pay Shimon anything. So if Shimon gets it, Shimon gets it. Yehuda gets it, and Reuven doesn't have to pay anything. So you'd think he could testify. That's what you'd think. Guess what? Ain Reuven made them. No, still Reuven cannot testify to knock Yehuda out. Even though he has the responsibility, we think he could testify, he cannot testify. Why? Here's an interesting new rule here. Hare, he wrote, says, Shetamed biyad Shimon. He really would like the land to stay by Shimon. He will get a very indirect benefit if it stays by Shimon. How is that? Well, let's say now one of Reuven's debtors comes. One of Reuven's debtors comes to collect. Now, what is Reuven going to tell the debtor? What would he tell him?
Go take it from
Shimon. And Shimon can't say anything. I told you it's without responsibility, right? So now this guy can collect. Now, if it goes to Yehuda, will the guy who has the creditor be able to collect that land? No, because it comes out it never was Reuven's land to begin with. Right? It was Yehuda's land. So then, Reuven said, okay, but I don't got any money. I don't got to pay. So wait a minute. So how does he benefit? I don't got to pay. So he says like this, right? Let's say the field does go to Yehuda. Yeah? So does Reuven lose out? He doesn't have any money. So what does he lose out? So why does he still want it not to go to Yehuda? Why? Like this. Because it could be a debtor of Reuven will come. He'll want to collect the land from that debt. And he would like to have the land, even though he doesn't have any. It's not his land anymore. But you know what he gets? Well, yeah, he doesn't want to be given a certain dubious title of Lo v'rusha v'lo yishalim. You know, someone who borrows and doesn't pay back is known as a rusha.
It's a reputational risk.
So if Reuven doesn't pay back, he says, sorry, I don't got any money. What about the land? I'm sorry, it's not my land. Well, you didn't pay me back. That's right. Well, you know, the Torah says a guy doesn't pay back, even though we can't get money from him, he's called a rusha. He doesn't want to be known as a rusha. He'd rather testify against Yehuda that it really should be Shimon's piece of property. So if a creditor would come to Reuven and want to take the property, he'd be happy to give him the property because now he's paid off the debt. He's not called a Russia. See, that's not a financial benefit at all. It's just a benefit that his esteem, it is in his reputation, he's not called a Russian. That's enough that makes him biased that we cannot believe. Okay, that was Gimel. Okay, Dalet is a long one. Let's see if we can finish this today. There's a number of scenarios over here. It's not so hard as much as it's long, and really this Dalet could be like three halachas. Okay, so let's see if we can finish it all. Okay, now, so last case was Reuven sold a field to Shimon. Okay, now we're going to sell some other things. Reuven Shemachar Pora Otalis L'Shimon. Now we're not talking about land, we're talking about movable objects. Reuven sells either a cow or a garment to Shimon.
Why, like before, do you have to give both examples? Does it make a difference? Could they just say a cow? Or is
it I don't think it makes a difference. Uba Yehuda la'arir, and now Yehuda comes to complain. He wants to get the thing from Shimon, claiming that it's his. Right? He's saying, Shimon, you bought it from Reuven. You should know Reuven's a ganav. He stole it from me. It was always my cow. Whatever claim. But you could basically say Reuven was a ganav. He stole it from me. He had no right to sell it, and now I want my thing back. So now the question is, who's got it now? Shimon. Can Reuven testify on Shimon's behalf? So look what he says. Reuven made lo aleha. Reuven can testify to knock out Yehuda and keep the garment or the cow by Shimon. She shall Shimon. Why? Well, what potential benefit does Reuven get out of anybody winning over here? If Yehuda gets it, Yehuda gets it. Right? If Shimon gets it, Shimon gets it. Now, what possibly could you say? Well, maybe Reuven has a debtor, a creditor is going to collect. Well, a creditor does not collect from metaltolin. He only can collect from land. So what does it matter to Reuven who gets it? Before, in the case whereby land makes a difference, at least he'll be known as not such a bad guy, right? But here, no one can collect. Any creditors against him can't collect. Shafilu umdabiyat Shimon, even if he'll testify and it'll stay by Shimon, Ein Baal Chovash or Reuven, the creditors against Reuven cannot toyref minatam mataltim. They cannot collect from the movable objects. That's a special rule. Shafilu, even if he was very specific, there's a certain specific type of debt, of loan, that's called an apotaki. Apotaki means, it's an acronym for potahei koi. Here it shall stand. In words, he says, I'm borrowing it, and you can collect right from this. He's designated something that not land, a movable object. Right? If I don't pay, you get it right from here, and more than that, and you only can collect from here. Right? So, but still in all, they won't be able to collect. Because he sold it again. No, this case is speaking where he sold it without responsibility. Okay, if he sold it without responsibility, so you're right, if they do collect it, doesn't matter to him, he doesn't have to pay him out anyway. Doesn't matter. Okay, now, this is the rule. Reuven can testify on Shimon's behalf. However, there's qualifications. Bamed Varmarim, when do we say that Reuven can testify? To knock Yehuda out? When Shimon admits, he knows for sure that Reuven owned it. He's absolutely sure that Reuven owned it. There was never a problem. He knows it was Reuven's. He really knows it was Reuven's. And he doesn't believe Yehuda for a minute. Okay. Shimon really, I don't know. I don't know if Reuven really owned it. I don't know. Like, I haven't had it for a long time. Maybe. Who knows? Right? Then Ein Reuven made La'abit Zchus Yehuda. Reuven cannot testify to take away any rights of Yehuda. Why? Shim Teitzei Mitachas Yedei Shimon, because if it will get out of Shimon's hands, then Yachzer Shimon V'yitzud Amin. Then Shimon will turn around to Reuven and ask for money. You sold me something that wasn't yours. That's beyond not having responsibility. You're a ganav. See, when Shimon says, I know it's Reuven's, so now Reuven knows he's not going to come after him. But if he doesn't know, then Shimon can come after him. Because what will Shimon say? Listen, there's witnesses from Shimon Yehuda saying it belongs to Yehuda. Right? So even though he made a condition that I'm not going to be responsible, right? But still, you're right. So he won't be able to collect. He won't be able to collect. But certainly what's going to happen? Shimon's going to have a lot of complaints against Reuven. And it's not just creditors came. They're telling me that you stole, was never yours. It's a big difference if you sell a piece of land and say, I'm not taking responsibility after creditors come. Yeah. But the guy sells it, I'm taking responsibility because I never owned it.
Right.
So you're right. He's not going to be able to collect. But you know what? Still, he would prefer Yehuda gets it and not Shimon get it and not Yehuda, because Shimon will tell the whole world what kind of crook
his reputation
Reuven was. And again, the reputation will be soiled.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's keep going with more. What?
So because there's a benefit.
So it's therefore he can't testify if Reuven, Shimon is not sure that it was Reuven. If he's sure that it's Reuven, then he doesn't have to worry about it. Reuven will never malign him. Because he knows it was his. But if Shimon's not sure it was Reuven, then he'll say, oh, it turns out you were a crook, and then he'll malign him to everybody. Now, but man, and now we have to give a few more, conditions. And also, under what conditions can Reuven testify and take away the rights, the claim of Yehuda, and keep the movable objects in the hands of Shimon? There's going to be another thing, that we know that Reuven never owned any land, ever. This has to be another condition in this case. So now, first condition is Shimon has to know for sure that, in his mind, that Reuven owned the cow. And second condition is that Reuven never, ever owned any land. Because if he does, you'll see in a minute, it's a very unusual type of situation. It's not a commonly done, where Reuven would stand to gain that the property stays by Shimon. Even though it's metaltlin. And metaltlin, you cannot collect, creditors cannot collect from it. But there's a unique type of kinyan in which creditors can still collect from metaltlin. It's not so well known. But here it is. Aval im lo boimlo. But if he has no witnesses, they doesn't own any land. And maybe Reuven does own land, or did own land. So Afal Apor Velasim, he can't even testify for the cow and the talus. Why? Why can't he testify? Shema hikna osol b'chove. He could have made a loan. Reuven could have borrowed money from somebody long before and made an unusual type of a stipulation. It's called a loan agav karka on the backs of some land. And more than this, v'kosav de'ikni. He wrote an expression of de'ikni that I will acquire. What's going on over here of what I may buy? And he buys the metalklin through land. In other words, he says like this. He borrows money. He has a piece of land. And he writes the following condition to the creditor. He says, anything that I will buy, whether it's land or whether it's metalklin, they now are mishubit to you to collect whatever I do in the future, whatever I buy. And then the collector is allowed to, the creditor is allowed to collect even from metaltolin that the borrower buys after he buys it. And because that's the unique condition, he does that. And he's doing it through the land. Okay? So he's doing it through the fact that he owns the land, and he sells him, he says, I'm borrowing money, and through this land, and whatever I will, he has to own land in order to be able to do this type of kinyan. So by doing this, a lot of technicalities we're leaving out over here, but it's a unique situation, normally this doesn't happen, where the creditor can collect from future things that he buys. And therefore, but that can only happen if he owned a piece of land. So therefore that unusual situation could come up, and therefore we have to make sure he never owned any land. Lafika, therefore, lo yoid aleim, he can't testify. She rosa lahami v'yachim, he wants him an advocate. He shows b'chov v'yachim, because then the creditor can pay him back and he won't be known as a rush again who doesn't pay back. V'chein kolka yotzvarem, and anything similar to this. Now, you begin to see that things are not so simple. You know, just by the complexities of, well, you gotta know he doesn't have this, you gotta know he has this, it's not so simple that, well, can we believe him or not? On the surface doesn't look like he has a bias. But wait a minute, did he ever own a piece of land 10 years ago? Did he maybe make a kiddin, right? So now it takes a great degree of scholarship and a breadth of knowledge. And therefore the Rambam expands out of this idea. And he says, Udvar Melan, these kinds of halachas ain't a tlui melabadas adai, they really depend a lot on how the judge is gonna think. For Otz and Binas and the depth of his wisdom, he really has to know the primary laws, what everything's based on. He has to know things that cause another thing, that causes another thing, right? And goes deep to see all the possible scenarios that could be to show that there might be a distant type of bias that could come out. He has to be very clever to figure maybe this witness has some very indirect benefit of his testimony. Even if it's a very distant one, not the typical case. We listed a number of unusual types of kinyanim that need certain situations and to be that somehow he would benefit from testimony. It's not even a monetary benefit from testimony. It's just something he's called a rasha. So therefore, Hareis, and in those scenarios, the judge has to know, Hareis Eloyeba, that a guy's not allowed to testify because it'll come out in his benefit. Now, you should know, parenthetically, the commentators say, if the guy has a reason to be biased for a certain guy, but if he testifies for his bad, let's say he wants to testify that it's Yehudas, then we believe him, because now that's hurting him. That we believe. But any distant way of it helping him, it won't help. And we can't allow him to testify in this way. Maybe he's biased. So just like that, he can't be a witness. Similarly, he can't be a judge. Let's say Reuven, you know, this borrowed money and whatever. Now he's judging the case here. Same idea. Just like he can't be a witness, he can't judge the case. And there, for that matter, any other psulim, any other things that make us a witness puzzle in indirect ways. Just like they would puzzle witnesses, similarly, by the yanim, they will also make the judges puzzle. Okay. There's more on this theme, but I think we've had enough for one day. Okay. Shkayach, guys. We'll continue on.